Zero, that node automatically ordered things. All right. So the messages in MPI are sort of high-level messages. They're not like ATM packets, which are 53 bytes, which are what the switches see. These are some high-level, user-level messages, like HTTP messages. They're high-level messages. They're defined by the application program. So MPI is neutral about packets. It assumes that there is some software which takes packets, which may or may not divide the messages up into packets, and there's some lower level software that's responsible for chopping up packets and adding the packets together to make a message. So what we're doing now, remember, we're coming to the send and receive routines, which are the which are the dominant form of messaging. So the two types of communication, which we already discussed briefly, I believe, a long time ago when we did the Laplace equation, which we'll actually come back to at the end of this foil set. Well, I mean, after we finish this foil set. There are essentially two types of messaging. One is point-to-point communication. So that's when one process sends a message to another process which receives it. So that's like you talking to a friend. You say some words which the friend receives. But there's the other type of communication, which is what's happening now. Namely, that's collective communication. When I'm broadcasting information to the people group called the students in CPS 650. So that's a subset of the total Syracuse students, those registered for this class. So the most important collective communication for parallel computing, a very important collective communication is broadcast, which is one processor for everybody else in the group. If you look at the what's going on in the networking community and the internet world, they all talk about something called multicast. And they're talking about multicast for the same reason MPI does collective communication. So suppose I was a process and you were processes, and I wish to broadcast information to you. If I just have point-to-point communication, I need to speak to the first student, then the second student, then the third student, then the fourth student, and so on. So I have to issue N messages when they're N students. And I remember a famous time back at Caltech when I was working with the biology department, Jim Bauer, a very brilliant biologist who now has built a very wonderful neural net simulator called, let's get what it's called. What? Genesis? Yeah, Genesis. So the first version of this was incredibly slow. And the reason was that the student who implemented it did all the broadcasting by this set of point-to-point messages, where you generated N messages when it should have only generated one. Because you see, the alternative form of messaging, you think about a computer, it'd be much more efficient to send one message, and that message gets sucked, essentially travel around the network, and it got sucked up by each processor that wanted it. So that's obvious on a bus. When I have a set of processes connected by a bus, I just want to put one message on that bus, and it gets sucked up into each memory. But even if I have a network topology, with let's take a simple ring, all I want to do is to start a message out on the ring. It goes to the first processor in the ring, jumps up, and gets sucked up by the memory, gets passed on to the second processor, gets sucked up, and so on, so that the total network bandwidth used is equivalent to one message. And any one processor only has a load equivalent to one message. Whereas if I send n point-to-point messages, the processor that initiates the message has a message load equal to n. It's got to stop n out onto the network, and the network has a message load, which is n times 2b. So this is very important. So this is an example of the efficiency issue. There are some nifty algorithms that you will find described in the computer science literature to do optimal broadcast on various topologies. Because if you think of a complex topology with one processor connected to a subset of other processors which then gets connected to another subset, there are optimal ways to send these messages around in such a way that they take up minimal network bandwidth. And there's a lot of clever work done on that in the literature. However, so I mentioned that this is also essential in the internet, because if I want to, for instance, do video conferencing, so I have a bunch of people around the world. You know, if CRPC does video conferencing, there's a group at Caltech, and a group in Houston, and a group here, and a group at Tennessee, and some at Argonne, and some at Los Alamos, and some at Tennessee, and we want to send the video from, say, here to the other six sites, whatever it is, and vice versa. And so we want to have the, so we have the same problem. So multicast is in the, and for the same reason, the internet, as we know, is very slow. And the last thing we want to do is to send n video messages out from here if we wish to send the video of the person here over the internet using our favorite video conferencing system. So multicast is a very deep and important area in the worldwide network, because the gains are much greater, because potentially you can have arbitrary amounts of broadcast, because you want to send messages to a whole set of people, which can be very high, from to a subset like video conferencing to essentially a pure broadcast, which is sending it to everybody, but again you only want to send one copy. And it's very difficult, because this network topology, that the internet is a complex network. I mean, Syracuse is connected to NYSERNet, which is connected to, and information gets routed in an incredibly complex fashion, and actually dynamically. A message from Syracuse on the internet, it doesn't always go through the same routers. So there's a very important study in networking, which is on multicast, which is how to do that in an optimal fashion. So I believe that's a pretty interesting area. The parallel computing version of it is much easier in some sense, because you in some sense have a fixed asset, n nodes. You tend to have a fixed network, even if in some miracle it's dynamic, which you could imagine in metacomputing. You're not likely to have the same complexity of video conferencing, because you're not likely to seriously do parallel computing of the type we do, of closely synchronized in this worldwide fashion. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say that the net result of all this is the collective communication is very important for an optimization issue, because the natural portable version of collective communication, which is to send n messages out for a broadcast, is incredibly inefficient. So that's an example of why you want these more complex communication methods. Alright, and there are various other... So a collective communication, the word collective just means there's more than one message. It could be as few as two messages. That's what happens when you have an exchange, when one processor exchanges information with another processor, so messages are just swapped. Or to this worldwide broadcast, which, you know, can have arbitrary millions of processors involved. So, if you look at a particular MPI implementation, you're likely to, a good way to see if this is done in an effective, being implemented efficiently, is to look at collective communication. So, if you look at PVM, it may have changed, but the original PVM did not have collective communication in it. So if it was efficient, the user had to write an efficient version of the broadcast, but typically therefore it was not done efficiently. So MPI, I believe, correctly had collective communication in it. And so one of the reasons I spent a long time on this is that in some sense I think at Caltech we sort of invented this, at least. We were the first people, I believe, to stress collective communication in the parallel computing domain. And all the message passing systems we built always had collective communication. And the reason it did is we always found it essential in the applications we were doing. Whereas the first commercial message passing systems